Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration today is found written in the book of 2 Corinthians. We read in chapter 4, 13 to 18 are the verses. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So far the text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, dearly beloved of God, a very fascinating story of the Bible that's recorded by the evangelist Matthew, chapter 17. In this chapter, Matthew tells about an episode from Jesus' ministry not long after he was transfigured on the mountain. He tells how Jesus walked down the mountain and shortly thereafter was met by a crowd. And there was a man in the crowd who came up to Jesus, knelt down before him, pleaded with him to help his poor son, his son who was suffering horribly from demon possession. The man told Jesus how he had brought his son to the disciples and they couldn't cast that demon out. They had failed. And then Jesus responded by saying, Oh, faithless and twisted generation, how long must I be with you and put up with you? Bring him here. The son was brought to Jesus. He rebuked the demon and he came right out. And the boy was healed. It was a little bit after this that the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, Jesus, how come we couldn't cast that demon out of the boy? And the Lord told them, it's because of your feeble faith. And I tell you, if you have faith as tiny as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll happen. All things are possible for those who have faith. Now, is Jesus exaggerating? Is there truly such a thing as mountain-moving faith that can accomplish super powerful things? Absolutely. Just turn to the book of Hebrews for a long list of examples of very marvelous things that believers of the past did with God's help. People like Noah, Abraham, Gideon, and many others. This morning we want to consider some more examples of how faith accomplishes great things still in the hearts and lives of God's people today. We're going to see it's because of the faith which the Holy Spirit gives to Christians that they're able to know most assuredly for themselves and to share with others around them in the world amazing gospel truths. Death will be changed to glory. Our troubles will be changed to glory. And time itself will be changed into eternity. So let's consider that first thought, the first example of what faith accomplishes in Christians. It enables us to know most assuredly and to share with others with confidence this wonderful truth that death is going to be changed into life. Think about this. In a world where we see so much death happening all the time, people dying, killed in accidents and disasters, volcano eruptions and lava flows, or just plain dying of old age, we Christians possess the firm belief that the same Heavenly Father who raised His Son from the dead on Easter morning one day will do the same for all of us who trust in Him, when we too will be with Him. We've been blessed with the same faith which God blessed believers of the past with. And like believers of the past, it is now our prime concern as Christians to share this good news message in Christ with others so that they too might have that same miraculous faith in Christ and then someday go to live with Him too, just as we will. And one of the remarkable aspects of the faith that God has given to us is that it is a confidence that we possess even though our lives in this present world are touched by so many problems and troubles, even though from all outward appearances, looked at purely from a worldly perspective, it would seem to be quite foolish to think that death could be changed into life. When we face troubles, we're not immune from them any more than the people of the unbelieving world. We face them, we experience them just as unbelievers do. I don't think it would take long for any one of us here in church this morning to tick off on our fingers painful experiences that we've had in our lives or are currently experiencing, ranging from physical distress to problems at home or the workplace or scorn from the ungodly world or loss of loved ones. It would seem to be nonsense to have within us this spirit of faith which declares, I know my faith is founded on Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, and in this faith confessing, unmoved, I stand upon His word. And there's nothing that can sever me from the love of God, no want, no pain, whatever, no famine, danger, sword, though 1,000 foes surround me for slaughter, mark His sheep. They never shall confound me. The victory I shall reap. That you can say that, confess that, and know it with conviction is truly remarkable. We might call it a mountain-moving faith. The same faith the Lord granted to the person who authored the 116th Psalm from which Paul quotes in our text, when he says, it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Paul's quoting from Psalm 116, verse 10. And if you were to read through that whole long psalm, you'd see that this author, we don't know who he was, experienced some very difficult hardships that caused him in moments of weakness in his life to question whether or not he was victor over death. That's where we read in one of the verses early on in the psalm, the cords of death entangled me, the anguish of the grave came upon me, I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. But then he expresses later on and in the psalm his spirit worked confidence that despite it all, he was the victor. You, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, and because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. And it's in this psalm that that familiar verse is also recorded. We've heard quite a lot at funerals. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. That is mountain-moving faith the Lord grants to His people to have for ourselves and to be able to share with others the good news that death will be changed to life. Another aspect of this mountain-moving faith, it knows most assuredly that troubles will be changed into glory. It says with Paul, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far exceeds them all. I was reading recently about an event from the life of John Quincy Adams. He was an American statesman who lived back in the 1800s, who also served as the 6th president of the United States. He was very old. A friend stopped by for a visit one day and greeted him at the door. Familiar words. "How do you do, Mr. Adams?" The elderly gentleman replied, "John Quincy Adams himself is very well, thank you. But the house in which he's living is falling to pieces. I think that John Quincy Adams is going to soon have to move out. But he himself is doing very well, sir." Of course, he was referring to his aging body, on which the passing years had taken their toll, and from which his immortal soul would one day, very soon, have to take its leave. That's what Paul's referring to in our text, in the verse we just cited, when he wrote, "Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day." The Holy Spirit works in us, and miraculously by the gospel, this conviction that although from the moment we enter our world at birth, we're subject to the aging process, the more years we add to our lives, experience more aches, more pains, our strength wanes, our vigor fades, our vision gets more blurry, our steps grow slower. I was reminded of this just last Tuesday. I took a trip up to Laramie to visit my nephew Jason and niece-in-law Kelly. They're little girls who were with Grandma and Grandpa in Ogallala. And when Kelly was called into work, Jason invited me to go out to the Frisbee golf course. So we went out and golfed 18 holes. It was lots of fun. Jason's very good at it. He put one in from like 60 feet. The next morning, the aches and the pains, a reminder that my body is wasting away outwardly, getting older day by day, and eventually, of course, our bodies are going to break down completely. But our faith enables us yet to rejoice in knowing that inwardly we're being renewed day by day. As the Holy Spirit uses the gospel power in word and sacrament to help us to maintain throughout our life our spiritual vitality, he pours, as we just sang in the last hymn, new strength, new power, new joy, new hope into our souls with every passing year. He gives us the certainty that just as God kept his promise to send Jesus at Bethlehem and to send Christ to die on the cross on Calvary and to be raised again from the dead on Easter morning, he'll surely keep his promise to come and receive us to himself. And each day of our earthly sojourn that we put behind us is another day that we've traveled closer to that special day when we will enter our Father's house and the glory that shall be ours. Paul writes here, "Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." The glory Isaiah described in chapter 35 when he speaks about the highway that will be there called the way of holiness, where wicked fools will not travel. Only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return, and they'll enter Zion with singing, and everlasting joy will crown their heads. Sorrow and sighing will fade away. Or the blessedness John describes in the book of Revelation. He says, "I saw a new heavens and new earth, for the first heaven and earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Again, mountain-moving faith, Spirit-given, is what enables us to look forward to that with confidence. And that other key aspect of faith that the Lord grants to us as children, what we believe as Christians, what we desire and pray for extra opportunities to share with others, is that time itself will then be changed into eternity. The glory awaiting us in Christ Jesus, which we've just described in our heavenly home, is not going to be just for a short time or a limited duration. Not like when you take a day or two off from your work duties to get a breather, you got to go back to the daily grind. Or when you go on a weekend trip for relaxation or a vacation for a week or two. It's going to last forever. It's our Holy Spirit-given mountain-moving faith alone that believes this, and that removes the mountains of doubt and the hills of uncertainty from our hearts. It's also the same mountain-moving faith that leads us, as also Paul says here in our text, to fix our eyes on what is not seen but unseen, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Might seem strange to have the Lord say that to us, to keep your eyes on the things that you can't see. We can't see things that are invisible. Of course, he's talking about the ability that the Holy Spirit gives us to see these things with the eyes of our faith and to walk and to live, not by sight, but by faith, and to keep our eyes of faith fixed on the treasures in heaven where moth and rust can't destroy, and where thieves cannot break in and steal. My friends, this walking by faith is not like flying blind either, or like the people when they said to Jesus, he's out of his mind. The world would say, you're crazy, you Christians, to keep your eyes fixed on things you can't see, your eyes of faith. It's not like driving on a foggy highway when we can't see what's over the next hill and not sure what we're going to run into. No, we know what lies ahead, and we know that it will be good, and we know that it will be precious beyond compare, and we know, as just mentioned, that it will be forever. Time will be changed into eternity. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for blessing you with this mountain-moving faith, this faith which believes these truths. May the Lord preserve this faith in our hearts even to the end. May our prayer be, Lord, give us such a faith as this, and then whate'er may come, we'll taste even now the hallowed bliss of our eternal home. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, keep your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit.